heart fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, friends. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again in this time of summer and vacations. We've been talking a lot about that, and I've been reflecting a little bit about going on vacation, going on trips. Perhaps you've already done yours. Perhaps you've got one coming up yet. Summer seems to be the time when we traditionally do take those vacations. But I, as much as I love traveling, and I really do, I really love traveling, whether it's just a small road trip down, an overnight or something like that, or if it's a big international trip or something that's maybe even a pilgrimage, something that exposes you to cultures that you don't normally see, not even on TV or anything like that. I love traveling, but here's what I don't love. I don't love packing. Packing for trips is not one of my favorite activities because it always seems like you're up too late, right? And you're trying to make sure in kind of the fog and the flurry of getting ready for this vacation, you are trying to get everything together in one place, everything that you will need, and probably some of the things that you will probably want, which in my case always turns out to be wrong. I always misestimate the amount of clothes, whether it's underestimating or overestimating. I've done them both. I always overpack books. I always think, oh yeah, it's vacation. I'll take three books along and I'll make great headway. I'm lucky if I get a chapter out of one book read, usually, on vacation. And it's just, it usually tensions run high in the household, if we're honest, if you're like me, when you're packing, putting stuff together. And I think one of the sweetest moments in all of summer vacation is when you drive out of the driveway, right? Or you're picked up in the cab or picked up in Uber, whatever you're doing, as when you're on your way. Because at that point, you're either ready or you're not. But at that point, you've got what you've got, right? And hopefully trust in the Lord. But you've also got to just trust that what you've packed is what you will need on your vacation. Why do I bring this up? Well, what about getting ready? Getting ready and being ready is the focus of our gospel this Sunday. To be ready, Jesus is talking about the servants who are ready or not for the master's return. What does it mean to be ready for that ultimate trip, if you will, that trip into eternal life? What does it mean to be ready for that? And I think that's what Jesus is holding in front of us. I think that there's two ends of the spectrum, two extremes that we can go to, and neither one are helpful. One is that, yes, it could be any second now, and so I've got to be stressed out about everything that's going on around me because this might be the end of all things, or at least the end of me. And the other end is, it doesn't really matter, come what may. It's got to be somewhere in the middle. We've got to be ready. We've got to be prepared. And there are certainly scripture verses that tell us there is a sense of urgency, not an urgency of, we have to be stressed out and fearful about it, but rather we need to take note and we need to be ready. And what does he talk about? He talks about, and this is coming off the gospel lesson from last Sunday too, where he's talking about storing up, remember the barns, tearing down barns and building up new ones, and then eat, drink, and be merry, and you fool, this your life is demanded of you this night. Now he's talking about, here's where you want to store up stuff. You want to store up treasures for yourself in heaven, right? And you do that by, again, giving yourself out in love for others, for love of Jesus, first and foremost, so deepening, developing your relationship with Jesus, and then living that out in love and in loving relationship with others. It has a lot to do about living the faith and loving with others. And we have, thanks be to God, we have examples of people who have done just that. Our New Testament reading this Sunday is from Hebrews chapter 11, kind of that hall of fame of faith from the Old Testament, just all these people who lived with faith, right? as Catholics, one of the great gifts of our Catholic faith is that we have so many saints that we can look to and are exemplars for us and how they lived out the faith, right? And even in our own days, we have those around us, I'm sure, in your life that you have who are living the faith and leading with faith, which is actually what we're going to be talking about here at the opening of our show today, what it means to lead with faith. We've got John Trojak from Trojak Law Office, who's going to be talking with us about leading with faith. And we're also going to speak with Mark Novitzky and Mike Ritchie, Dr. Mike Ritchie, who are all going to speak about what it means to lead with faith, as they are three of the Leading with Faith 2019 award winners. Also, we're going to be talking on the phone with Elizabeth Westhoff, who's going to talk to us a little bit more about going on pilgrimage to Wisconsin. We had a couple of spotlights on both Our Lady of Good Help and Champion and Holy Hill down in the Milwaukee area. Elizabeth Westhoff is going to talk to us about the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which I'm sure many of you have visited in La Crosse. But in case you haven't, she's going to give us some good ideas as to why it might be a good idea to make that part of your summer or fall pilgrimage options as well. All right, so that's what's coming up here on the Rediscover Hour. Before we begin, before we launch in, let's, as always, pause and give the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Lady. So let's pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we've got John Trojak with us, as well as Mark Novitzky and Dr. Mike Ritchie on Leading with Faith. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
When people see joy, you know, it speaks more than talking about the truths of the Catholic faith. Keep living your faith with such passion and such joy. It starts there.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
Relevant radio.
By my side, to be everything I'm not. Angel side, I breathe deep the breath of God.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. You know, every year the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis has the Leading with Faith Awards, and they are nominated by people in the community. Here are the criteria. They must live and work in a secular business or organization, not a parish or school or Catholic institution, within the Archdiocese. They must bear witness to the mission of the Church through their conduct and be a member of a parish within the Archdiocese, and it must be in some type of leadership position at his or her place of business. And we're going to hear about three of those Leading with Faith Award winners here on the Rediscover Hour today. Joining me now in studio, 2019 Leading with Faith Award winner John Trojak, who's a St. Paul native. He graduated from St. Mark's Grade School, St. Thomas Military Academy, and the University of Minnesota, served 4 years on active duty with the U.S. Navy, and then attended William Mitchell College of Law, where he earned his J.D. He formed in 1983, established the Johnny Trojak Law Firm, now the Trojak Law Office, and he's a parishioner of the Church of St. Agnes of St. Paul and the Church of St. Joseph of West St. Paul. Mr. Trojak, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
It's great to have you with us. Yeah, very good. So let's launch in about, tell me about founding a law office. What's all involved in that, and how did you get the idea to do that?
Well, I started out as a associate with a downtown lawyer in St. Paul, and one of my classmates asked me to join him in the practice of a law and a partnership, and that did not well, that didn't work out very well. So I broke off on my own, and I started an office downtown St. Paul and eventually moved out to where I am in West St. Paul.
Okay, very good. And was doing something with the law kind of always the plan? Is that, have you always been attracted to that?
Yes, I guess I would say that's true. The generation I came from was just before Vietnam, the Vietnam War, mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people in my generation were kind of lost. They didn't know what they were going to do, and so the draft kind of sharpened my focus. And mm-hmm. and when I received my notice, I applied to law school, but at that particular time, all deferments were revoked, even the ones for graduate school. So I went into the Navy and served 4 years active and then about 33 years reserve. So,
Well, thank you so much for your service. We appreciate that very much. Now, tell me a little bit about the kind of law that Trojak Law Office, what do you provide? What services do you provide?
Well, we focus the practice on estate planning, wills, trust, probate, guardianships, conservatorships, powers of attorney, healthcare directives, and we try to counsel and advise with a Catholic perspective, and that means there's a lot of things that we can discuss with clients that are common to our faith, that are important to people, and are helpful in the Catholic way of life.
Okay. Can you give me an example? Like what sorts of things do you talk about?
Well, you know, normally an attorney counseling on say, a will or a trust or something might just discuss the legal aspects. But people ask me, what other people have done, other Catholics specifically, and sometimes they want to do something for the family. So sometimes we talk about Gregorian masses for them, or we have a healthcare directive that has, well, about 10 years ago, I had a Catholic couple, an older Catholic couple, complain to me that the healthcare director wasn't Catholic enough. So I went up to see Father Pichet, who is the pastor at West St. Paul, and he gave me a lot of ideas, and I've been using that in my short form. But about 4 years ago, my son was with me, and he did a long form Catholic healthcare directive that is very, very good, and a lot of my clients use it. And so the normal healthcare directive, you wouldn't be providing that your agent get you the sacraments in the end, that you wouldn't normally find anything about the last rites or final penitence or the apostolic blessing and all of that we have. I think this has become more and more important from the Catholic Christian perspective, because there is a real threat to life, and I think it's now really affecting older people. And so I had one person come in and say, well, I'm just going to have my priest be my healthcare agent and nothing else in the directive. And I said, that would not be a good thing, because you need something in the document that gives your advocate, and that's what your agent is, the power to stop something or to require something that maybe a doctor or a healthcare provider does not want to do or would say, oh, that's not necessary, and so on. But if it's in the directive, or you've given the healthcare agent the power, especially in faith matters, I want a priest there at the end. Oh, you don't need one, you know, whatever. You've got it in the document that actually provides for it. So, and there's a lot of other things in the longer one that my son put together, where you provide that you don't want your any part of you used for experimentation while you're still alive. You want a determination that the death really has occurred. There's a medical philosophy that when you're brain dead, you're dead, and that I think has been severely questioned by other Catholic medical people. So there's a lot of things in it that give protections against experimentation or anything else while you're alive, and sometimes while you're dead. And there's provisions that don't allow your body to be used in connection with fetal parts that have been obtained through abortion. So it's pretty comprehensive, and my son did an absolutely excellent job. And he took a lot of it from the National Conference of Catholic Bishops document on how Catholics should be treated when they're in an institution, whether it's a hospital or a healthcare institution.
Sure. Excellent. So on a more general level, what does leading with faith mean to you?
Well, I guess it just trying to model good Catholic Christian behavior wherever I am, whether it's in the courtroom or whether it's sitting down with clients or with the people that help me, my team that works with me. I think it's you have to be conscious of trying sincerely to carry out the will of God. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, wherever you are, whether you're sweeping streets or whether you're the President of the United States, if you did that, I think that would be all you need to do. I mean, there's a lot of people that think you have to do something dramatic or, it's a lot of, you have to be down doing a lot of charity or something. I think God expects us to act where we are the best that we possibly can do, and then he'll take up the immense slack that failed human beings have.
Amen to that. I'm right there with you with that. Well, we've only got a couple minutes left, but I'm wondering if for those who are, those Catholics are living in the secular world, in the professional world, outside of Catholic institutions, that sort of thing, what would you say to give them the courage to lead with faith in their own environments? So what kind of thing would you, what would you say to inspire them and to encourage them?
I think the first and most important thing is to strive for personal holiness. So that would involve the sacraments. That would involve spiritual reading at night. That would involve, in my judgment, a rosary once a day. And I think you have to get really close to God to be effective. I think just saying you're doing charity without the connection to the supreme power of the universe is relatively ineffective. I think Dr. Norman Vincent Peale used to say you have to have yourself plugged in to the divine. And that's what I think is really important to wherever you are. If you're in adverse circumstances where people make fun of your faith, and I've been there, that's what's going to give you the strength, is that personal striving for holiness.
All right, wonderful. Johnny Trojak, thank you so much for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour. All the best to you and for your work at Trojak Law Office. And God bless you.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks for leading with faith. Okay. Well, John is just one of three examples of leading with faith that we're going to have today. Let's hear about more leading with faith. Joining me now in studio is Mark Nowitzki. He's a 2019 Leading with Faith Award winner as well. He's the president, or was the president, of Premier Bank in Maplewood. He's been with the Regan family 37 years there, the past 17 as president and CEO. This past January, he stepped back from the CEO position. We're going to hear a little bit more about that. He is named to the 2018 list of most powerful Minnesota business leaders, and he got a hole-in-one in 2016. Mark, you got a hole-in-one. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Thank you, Patrick. Glad to be here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, all right, so describe for us a little bit, if people are unfamiliar with Premier Bank, what is Premier Bank and what is it all about?
Well, you can't talk about Premier Bank without mentioning the Regan family. The bank was started in 1974 by Don and Jean Regan, and we're now a third-generation family bank. Their eldest grandson, Casey, is one of our bank presidents. Six of their seven children are intimately involved in the bank and serve on our bank board of directors, and they are the heart and soul of the bank.
Wonderful. But you've been with them for a long, long time, right?
That's correct. I was at Notre Dame with their son, Sean, and daughter, Kelly, was across the street at St. Mary's University. And Sean convinced me to go see his father in 1983, and they hired me. It was one time I had a chance to move to a competitor bank. The person that they hired died of a heart attack, and they asked me if I would accept that job, and I said, no, thank you. I shook Mr. Regan's hand, and I stayed with Premier, and it was the best decision I ever made.
Fantastic. Okay, but that leads into a story you were just telling me before we began the interview about what led to your stepping down as president last January. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. That was a pretty life-changing experience. I've had heart disease since I was 44, and then when I was 54, I had triple bypass surgery, and then this last March of 2016, I actually died while exercising on a Stairmaster. Thank the Lord that there was a doctor right next to me on an adjacent Stairmaster. He started giving me CPR, and there was a young CPR trainer within 10 or 15 yards, and she came over and helped out, and then a Lifetime Fitness trainer showed up with an AED machine, and they were able to zap me three times to get my heart going. And by the time my wife Nina got there, I was alert and in the back of an ambulance. But after the insertion of a pacemaker and a defibrillator, I had a four-hour conversation with Mr. Regan and just said, "This, Mr. Regan, this isn't working. We've got to do something to change the stress level of my job."
Right. So high stress, but also it sounds like the Lord had a plan. So let's talk about that. You're a Leading with Faith Award winner. What does it mean to you to integrate your Catholic faith into your daily business life?
Well, at Premier Banks, I'm actually the third recipient for the Regan-related entities. Don Regan, the owner and chairman of the bank, received an award by Archbishop Flynn and his eldest son, Pat Regan, who's involved with the bus company side of the business, has received that award as well. So for me, it's nothing that I've invented. It's more of carrying the torch and leading by the example that was set before me.
Hmm. What aspects of your Catholic faith do you think you've leaned upon as in serving in as you have in the business community, and how has that made a difference?
Well, everybody at the bank knows where I'm at early in the morning. I attend daily Mass at St. Peter's in North St. Paul, so they know not to try to get a hold of me between 7:50 and 8:40 in the morning. I'm proud to show up at work wearing ashes on Ash Wednesday. A lot of people sometimes will just brush them aside. If we're having a business luncheon during Lent, I'll just skip lunch and things like that. But at the bank, we attend a lot of clients, family members' funerals. And when one of your clients sees you show up at their mom's funeral, they never forget that. And the same with employees' funerals. We were in southern Minnesota last week with a large contingent of bank employees at the funeral for one of our employees' spouses. So that means a lot.
You told me before, too, about how prayer and adoration have made a difference in your life and your professional life as well. Tell us some of those stories.
Well, that was in 2008, and Mr. Regan and I were anticipating a very important phone call. And I went to lunch, and I just strolled over to St. Peter's in North St. Paul and was in the Adoration Chapel. And when I got back to the bank, Mr. Regan was excited to show me about the phone message that he received. And I looked at the date stamp or the time stamp, and it was 12:55 p.m. And I was kneeling in front of the Lord at St. Peter's at 12:55 p.m. Mm-hmm. And that brought a tear to his eye. He didn't know where I was. It was a pretty special moment.
Right. And you were telling me about another time when you were praying the rosary, right?
That was in 1989. We had a family meeting, and it was we were a small bank at the time, and we were going to be buying several banks from a failed institution. It was a big event. We were going to about triple the size of the bank overnight, and it wasn't going very smoothly. And there was about 10 people in the room, two of which were not named Regan. I was one of them. and about 2 a.m., Don, Mr. Regan, called a break, and he asked the Blessed Virgin for guidance in, are we making the right decision? Are we going down the right path? And then we stopped and we prayed the rosary as a group. And I just thought, this is an amazing organization where you stop and pray the rosary for an important decision. And in hindsight, it was the best decision that the Regans and they could have made for Premier Bank at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see how there's a necessity to rely on prayer when you're trying to make these important business decisions. Is there any particular achievement in your professional life that stands out to you as one of your most important ones?
Well, over the course of my career, I've lent millions of dollars to larger clients and companies, but the ones that are the most successful, or most rewarding, are the smaller loans to people that really don't have anywhere else to turn. There was a loan I made to a mother of a private high school student so he could graduate. There was a loan to a fisherman on the fishing opener where he could get his boat out of Hawk so he could go fishing for the fishing opener. And ironically, Patrick, last night I was sitting on my deck with my wife, Nina, and I got a text from a college buddy of mine who was very successful, and then there was a business failure, and there was great depression and sadness, and I stood by this particular person and supported him, and the bank didn't close the door on him, and he just wanted to send me a text saying something very nice to me, that the finest man that he's ever met, and there was some tears on the deck last night, but things like that make my life rewarding.
Absolutely. Yeah, it sure does. What would you say to other people who would aspire to lead with faith, to integrate their Catholic faith and their Catholic values into their business, their profession? How would you encourage them along those lines?
Well, especially in today's environment, I guess don't be afraid to show your faith. It seems like a lot of Christians and Catholics in particular are apologizing for many things, and we're being attacked from all sides. And I guess just live your life, show people that you're a Christian, and things will turn out better for everybody.
Yeah, that's right. Live your faith out loud, as it were. Did you, just out of curiosity, did you pray before you got that hole in one?
No, I don't recall that, but ironically, Sean Regan's son, Darby, was on the fourth tee box.
Oh, there you go.
And I couldn't see my ball in the third green. I said, "Darby, did that go in?" And he ran over and Regan picked up my ball. So how ironic is that?
Sure enough, there it was in the bottom of the cup. Wow. Okay. Fantastic. Wonderful. So as you're looking at the continuing on to lead with faith and having your faith integrate to every part of your life, I mean, I assume that includes your family life as well. That your faith is part of your family life. Any words of wisdom there?
Well, I'm a daily communicant. I was at St. Charles and St. Anthony this morning, and when I'm at work, I go to St. Peter's at North St. Paul. But I was very proud of our youngest son, Joe. He was with Father Schaefer in the Venezuelan mission for 2 years, and I learned a lot about taking care of the poor. He worked in the orphanage in Honduras for a couple of stints, and then he was in Peru with a group of doctors called Scalpel of the Cross. So I was very proud of Joe kind of giving his life to others.
Yeah, absolutely. It is about that sacrifice. Wonderful. Well, Mark, I appreciate the time that you can take with us here on the Rediscover Hour, but I think more than that, I and the community of listeners would like to thank you for living your faith and living it not just in your personal private life, but actually out in your professional life as well. We pray for you. We wish you all the best. We pray that there are no more stints with your heart or anything that goes on there. And I can't quite pray that you get another hole in one because I haven't gotten one yet. But God bless you, Mark. Thank you for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you, Patrick. Glad to be here.
All right. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, though, we're going to be speaking with Mike Ritchie and Elizabeth Westhoff, two other recipients of the Leading with Faith Award.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
It's like family, and I'm so comforted and edified and inspired. It's a gift, and you're all fabulous.
When you listen to this radio network, you know you're not alone on your journey. Yeah, it's tough. The hills and the mountains are sometimes really steep, but when you listen to The Inner Life, when you listen to Relevant Radio, we hope that you can walk away feeling emboldened, maybe just feeling a little bit better about who you are and knowing that you're not alone on the journey. And there's so much consolation in that with God's grace, you can walk through a lot of these things that we all deal with.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
I'm my hope on your return. Now all that sorrow so soon will burn. To tend my heart. tender.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our techno producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. We are meeting with and speaking with the 2019 Leading with Faith Award winners, and joining me on the phone now is Dr. Michael Ritchie, who is a comprehensive ophthalmologist with a special interest in laser vision correction and cataract surgery, especially, boy, you're going to have to define this for me, Dr. Ritchie, especially refractive cataract surgery using high-technology multifocal and toric lens implants. Did I get all that right?
Absolutely. That's perfect.
Okay.
Well said.
Well, it's great to speak with you, Mike. Thank you for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour. Tell us a little bit more about actually what you do on a day-to-day basis.
So we have an eye clinic down in Faribault, Minnesota, and this is something we've built over the last 20 years or so, and we're a comprehensive clinic. I've got a number of other doctors in the clinic with me. There are five optometrists working with me. So what we do is provide general eye care for basically everyone who walks in the door. So the team of optometrists really helps me out with the day-to-day routine eye care, including glasses and contact lenses. And that allows me to spend my time doing the things that I'm especially trained for. That would be the medical and surgical care. So in a general practice, the medical and surgical care includes taking care of people with diabetes that has affected the eyes, so diabetic retinopathy. We care for people with macular degeneration. But really the bulk of what I do is cataract surgery and laser vision correction. So laser vision correction is sort of the generic term that includes LASIK, but also some other variations of LASIK that people may or may not be all that familiar with. In cataract surgery, we take out a cataract. So the cataract is the cloudy lens in the eye. The lens turns cloudy over time, and it blurs vision. So when we take out the lens, we put in a new one. And if you think about that concept, we're putting in a lens. That lens is man-made. That has a focusing power. So refractive cataract surgery is simply taking out the cataract and replacing it with a lens with a special mindset or attention to how do I build your glasses prescription into that new lens implant to the best of our ability and the best of the technology we have. So that's where we can use lenses that include astigmatism correction. We even have lenses that include a bifocal so that we can give people distance, intermediate, and near vision all at once.
Wow, wonderful. Well, it seems like I know somebody else who was all about restoring sight, and that, of course, being our Lord. And I'm just wondering, since you are a recipient of the Leading with Faith, you are one of the recipients, then what does Leading with Faith mean to you?
Well, you know, I've thought about that quite a bit over the last few weeks here. And in reality, I think it's just very, very simple. I would really attribute leading with faith to the way I was raised. So my mother was, so my father died when we were very little. So we were raised in a single parent household. And my mom was a very faith-filled woman. She was a staunch Catholic, and she raised us with the attitude that it's your job to take care of those who can't take care of themselves. Your gifts, your talents are a gift, and you need to maximize your gifts. And you do it all with humility. And I think that's really what leading with faith is. You put others first. In a single word, I think she raised us with the attitude that we are here to serve. And when you take that into a business model, I think it's really clear that you serve your customers, but you also serve your employees and you serve your families and you serve your community. In a nutshell, that's what I've tried to do. And I don't know that I ever realized I was doing it. It was simply the way we were raised.
Gotcha. So when you talk about concretely applying those values that your mother and her insistence on, you know, taking you to church, on raising good Catholic kids and that sort of thing, when you talk about that, what are some of the actual ways that that plays itself out in your office?
So we have I think every business tries to have a mission and a vision, but we're very deliberate about the way we talk about this and the way we implement it. And in fact, we have just revisited this in the last 6 months. And the reality is our mission is very simple. We're here to serve, and that's it. And then we expound more on that. So when you think about we're here to serve, what it means is we're going to do what's right for you. And I've always tried to live by this, but I've also told my staff is take care of the patient that's in front of you. Fix their problem and do what you need to do. And you don't think about the bottom line. I think too many businesses are put profit ahead of the customer.
Sure.
But I think there's a lot that don't. I think there's a lot of businesses that are very good at taking care of people, and you know the rest of it takes care of itself.
Hmm. So are there specific ways that you would say you've experienced the presence of the Lord there in your clinic?
I think there's a few things. You know, I think we, and every business probably has this, we serve a community that includes a fair number of immigrants. Faribault has a fairly large immigrant population, and so we get people who are coming from areas where they don't have access to healthcare. So I do see a lot of eye issues related to the fact that people have not had access to care elsewhere. They come here. Some of them don't have access to insurance. And, you know, we work very closely with the organization in our area called Health Finders that helps provide these people with care, but also tries to plug them in to whatever, you know, resources are available. But quite often it means, again, you take care of the person in front of you.
Right.
You know, we had a gentleman come into the clinic, an immigrant who had been in the country for I don't know how long, and that really didn't matter. But what mattered was he'd lost his vision in both eyes over the last 6 weeks.
Hmm.
And the problem was very simple. He had developed fairly rapid growing cataracts in each eye, something that you don't see very often. They were dense white cataracts, so you could look at his eye and see that his pupil had turned white in both eyes.
Wow.
And for that to happen in both eyes at the same time is rare. So, you know, we expedited the process. We got him fixed. We got his cataracts out, and he was back to work within about 3 weeks.
Wow. Yeah, that's clearly an opportunity to, like you said, serve the person in front of you. So just in closing, Dr. Ritchie, what advice would you give to others who want to lead with faith?
Probably the biggest thing is, you have to understand what that means to you, and that takes some personal reflection. You know, I sat down several years ago and tried to understand, why am I doing this? And if you understand your personal why, you can then base every decision on that, and the decisions are very easy. But if you understand your why, what makes you tick, why are you doing this, and follow that, leading with faith is actually a very natural thing to do.
Wow, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for that. And before I let you go, I do need to highlight one other thing. We were just talking with Mark Nowitzki, and we were talking about his hole-in-one. You've had a hole-in-one yourself.
Yes, I have.
Okay, and do you remember the details, where and when and with what and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. We'll never forget this. We had a family gathering, and we were up in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, and we were playing the Pacagama Country Club, which is a very nice public course, and it was the seventh hole, and I hit a tee shot that looked pretty good, and I thought, huh, and I'm playing with my siblings. Now, I have a big family. There were seven of us. Six of us are male. So I was playing with my five brothers.
Okay.
My sister was not a golfer. And the group ahead of us was four of my siblings. And then the rest of us were in my group. And as the group of brothers walked off the green, not one of them turned around to watch my shot go in.
Oh, gee, perfect. Wow. So I think the lesson we're learning here is that being a Leading of Faith Award winner, either it's a prerequisite to or it leads to hitting a hole in one. So that's what I'm going to strive for that. Well,
I'll go with that. That's a good correlation.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Well, Dr. Mike Ritchie, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour, and thank you for leading with faith.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
All right, so I am going to start praying about hole-in-one and leading with faith, and maybe the two do correlate one way or another. All right. Yeah, I'm just not sure what to say, but okay. But leading with faith, hole-in-one, we're gonna move on. Joining me now on the phone is Elizabeth Westhoff, who is the Director of Communications at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe and Press Secretary for Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke. She spent the last 15 years in communications at the Archdiocese of St. Louis. She's a recipient of the 2017 Catholic Press Association Awards, including first place for Best Coverage of the Year, Mercy, and first place Best Newspaper Story and Photo Package. Elizabeth, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Good morning. Thanks for having me with you.
Yes, well, it's great to have you with us. And we want to talk about that wonderful shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin. First of all, how did you get associated with this shrine?
Well, so let's see. Cardinal Burke was Archbishop Burke of the Archdiocese of St. Louis in 2004. And I started working in the Archdiocese of St. Louis in about 2005, and he and I worked very closely together while he was there, and kept in touch with one another over the last 15 years, and I handled a little bit of his press during the conclave, during the consistory, but not much of it, really none of it other than those two things, and last summer, I came up to La Crosse, Wisconsin from St. Louis just on a visit for the first time because the Cardinal had been telling me for years that I needed to come up and see the shrine. And I said, well, you're there on the weekend of my birthday, so I have other things to do during that weekend. And he said, well, no, you don't. Nothing better than to come up. I came up to the shrine last year at the end of July and got out of my car and said, I could live here, to a friend of mine who I was with. And since God has really, really big ears.
I love the way you put that. That's right.
He heard that. And lesson, be careful what you say aloud because God hears it. But within 2 months' time then, the discussion had started about how to get me up to La Crosse to take over the communications efforts at the shrine. And so I left a job that I had been in for 15 years, arranged to have somebody take over my house that I have a mortgage on in St. Louis. And I packed up because the beauty and the importance and really the palpable, there is a palpable something, holiness maybe, that you feel when you drive onto the shrine grounds that just absolutely called me there. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that my arrival at the shrine was ordained. I keep saying it was either destined by God or it's the lamest midlife crisis anybody's ever had. To move to Wisconsin.
Well,
but it's beautiful up here. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I live in Wisconsin actually myself too. So yes, I would say it's beautiful. It's beautiful as well. Well, take us into the history of the shrine there in La Crosse. How did it come about?
Well, an amazing story. The shrine was absolutely meant to be. There's a family, the Swing family of La Crosse, who had this property in the bluffs of La Crosse. And for anybody who's ever seen the bluff country here, it's unparalleled beauty. And they had this beautiful ground They were hoping and praying that someday something holy could be done with this ground. And so they donated 75 acres to then Bishop Burke, because Bishop Burke was Bishop of La Crosse at the time.
Right. Yeah.
And he really wanted something important to be put here in La Crosse for the people of faith. And I'll talk more about that hopefully in a minute, because that's an important aspect of this as well. His vision for this. But the family donated 75 acres. So the land was completely donated. Then all of the funds that were raised to then build the shrine on the grounds were completely donor-funded. There was obviously, you know, fundraising campaigns done, and people all across the country gave money to support the building of this shrine, because they think it's important. You know, when you have people come onto the property who say that my life has been changed from being here, or we have prayed so hard here at the shrine of the side shrine of St. Giannamola, and we conceived after coming here, and we've got story after story after story after story of people who have experienced miracles after being at the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Well, I was just going to ask, since you brought it up, obviously the shrine is dedicated to Our Lady of Guadalupe. What's the connection there?
Well, originally, Cardinal Burke wanted to, Bishop Burke wanted to have it as a chapel of Our Lady of Fatima. But then John Paul II put out an encyclical, and the Cardinal started reading up on Our Lady of Guadalupe as the patroness of the Americas. And of course, as the patroness of the Americas and sort of being somewhat of a prescient, I think, you know, John Paul II and even the Cardinal himself to a certain extent saw the direction that the United States was going, and sort of this almost post-theistic culture we're living in. Certainly post-Christian or hostile to Christianity now. And I think that they both, in their own way, saw what was needed, and that was a very strong, fervent adoration, really, of Our Lady of Guadalupe, devotion to her. And so the Cardinal decided at that moment then to switch the shrine's patronage to Our Lady of Guadalupe, and it has proven to be obviously again something that God definitely wanted to happen, because the people who have come to us under the patronage of Our Lady of Guadalupe, they've all said, you know, it's so important now. Look at our culture, look at our faith in our country, look at the attacks on Christianity, and we need our mother as Our Lady of Guadalupe to protect us right now. We need her to intercede for us. And it's an important place, because when you arrive at the shrine, and I said there's that sort of palpable sanctity, I don't know, but you come in and it just sort of, you can sort of feel your shoulders lightening a little bit, right? So then you get into the shrine, you go through the pilgrim center, and you start the meditation walk up. And it's meant to be a pilgrimage, right? And pilgrimages are not always easy things. You should experience a little difficulty along the way, right? So
sure.
Maybe getting to La Crosse isn't the easiest thing to do, but you get here and you start up the path and you pray the rosary on the way up, and you experience the statue of Saint Kateri Tekakwitha along the way, and you see the statue of Saint Joseph the Workman, and you wind your way up. And you get to this beautiful church that you would find somewhere in Assisi when you get in. I mean, it's just breathtakingly beautiful. And you get in there and you realize it's like when you finally get home after you haven't been home to see your folks for a long time, you know, and your mom hugs you.
Mm.
Hi, welcome, welcome home. That's the feeling that you have when you walk in. And you can take that time and feel wrapped in Our Blessed Mother's mantle and know that she's protecting you. She's protecting all of us. And it really does afford you that feeling of having your mother your mother's love around you and protecting you.
Yeah, and thank you for doing that. That was a beautiful reminder for those of us who have been there, and then hopefully for those who haven't been there, it gives you at least a little bit of an understanding of what you're going to experience there. Just in case, just want to make it clear, because there are, you know, just in case there are those listening who might have some ambulatory problems or physical problems in getting up to the shrine, are there ways that they can do that? They can get up to the
shrine? There are, and we have, for those who have a little difficulty walking or mobility issues, we have carts, and we have our great crew of volunteers that will take you up to the top, and so you don't need to worry about that, and we'll even bring you down. We'll take you up and down. It's full-service shrine. but then also for folks who are maybe wheelchair-bound, we also have a way to get up to the back entrance. And we can talk to anybody who might have questions when they arrive at the Pilgrim Center, and we'll arrange for you to go up the back way and get yourself in that way.
Got it.
But
okay.
It's totally accessible to anybody who wants to go in.
Are there any special events that occur at the shrine throughout the year?
There are, and in fact, we're going to have a few more. I've been there for 4 months now, and I think I've managed to arrange for a few more events coming up, but we've got events. Obviously, our primary event is Holy Mass, confession, and the salvation of souls. Right, that's our primary focus. But throughout
Amen.
The year, we have the Marian Catechist Institute, which is a catechist group that was started originally by Father John Hardin, who of blessed memory, just a wonderful Jesuit priest who was so prolific in his writings and catechesis, and who was friends with Cardinal Burke. The Marian catechists exist on the shrine grounds, and once a year we have the Marian Catechist Conference. We have the Queen of the Americas Guild that takes place every year. That conference, again, always open to the public, where we have great speakers. For instance, this year we had Dr. Robert Royal, we had Austin Ruse, we had his wife Kathy Ruse, and His Eminence spoke. We just concluded earlier this week with the Canon Law Conference. So anybody who's interested in canon law, it's not necessarily just open to canon lawyers, but obviously because Cardinal Burke is the preeminent, really, canonist of our time, he hosts a canon law conference, and anybody can attend that. We also, throughout the year, because we have this just amazing organ up in the church, we have organ concerts, and we have, you know, different events happening throughout the year, but we're going to start in the coming year quarterly, and it will come out of the Office of Communications, sort of a catechetical weekend or week event where we have guest speakers, and I'm talking to folks like Catherine Jean Lopez, I'm talking to Father Zulsdorf, I'm talking to Kelly Walquist, who is well known certainly in our neck of the woods, but sort of that quote unquote professional Catholic who is really doing a great job out there of doing catechesis to sort of the regular person in the pew, right? So we're going to start doing those quarterly, and there will be a lot of information coming out. We're getting ready to rebuild the website. We're certainly building up our social media presence. And all of that information is always available on the website as it currently stands, and then on all of our social media as well.
And what is that website, Elizabeth?
The website is www.guadalupeshrine.org.
Well, that's easy enough.
www.guadalupeshrine.org.
Wonderful. Well, Elizabeth, we thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. Thank you for all the work that you're doing with the shrine. And it truly is a place of pilgrimage for the people here in the Twin Cities area. And I pray that it would be even more so since you have explained it to us so well. So thank you so much.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I greatly appreciate it, and God bless you, Patrick.
God bless you, too. All right, we're headed off into our final break. When we come back, Paul and I have all sorts of events for you to help strengthen and deepen your faith. Stay with us.
Rediscover.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar.
a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
It's more than you need. Safe here with me. It all starts the moment you believe.
Hey, Paul, have you been down to that shrine?
I have.
Yeah?
And
what do you think?
It's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous.
It's well worth visiting.
I had one of the best confessions there, too. My confessor was just great there.
Did it go on for hours?
That's for me to know and nobody else. Okay, what do we got going on,
Paul? Tons of things. Grandparents, the registration deadline has been extended. Join the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis Office of Evangelization on a grandparents' pilgrimage to the Holy Land with the Grandparents Ministry Chaplain, Father Joseph Bamanek. Pilgrimage is January 7 through 16, 2020. Pilgrimage sites include the Sea of Galilee, Mount Tabor, Garden of Gethsemane, and much more. To find out more, go to pilgrimagesbycts.com. Click on upcoming trips to Israel. Sign up today. If you have questions, call Susanna Parent or write to her at parents@archspm.org.
The CNA Symposium for Women, Family, and Culture in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis Office of Evangelization invite you to join us as we explore the nature of masculinity and the gift men are to their families and to the world at a seminar on August 17th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul. Keynote speaker will be Bishop Andrew Cousins on how to love like a man. For more information, visit the Siena Symposium website at stthomas.edu or contact Dr. Deborah Savage at pdsavage@stthomas.edu. The registration deadline is Wednesday, August 14th.
More for grandparents. Save the date for Saturday, August 24th, the date of the Catholic Grandparents Conference. Come and hear God's plan for grandparents and be equipped to pass on a heritage of faith. Catholic Grandparents Conference will be on Saturday, August 24th, 8:30 to 3:30 at the Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids. It includes keynote speaker Marianne Kaharsky, founding member and director of Pro-Life Across America. Father Joseph Bamanek will be speaking on bringing healing to your family. Also an hour of adoration led by Archbishop Bernard Hebda and more. For more details and to register, go to CatholicGrandparenting.org.
Women, you are invited to the Archdiocesan Women's Retreat taking place on Saturday, September 28th from 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Epiphany in Coon Rapids. The theme of this year's retreat is Living Grace, Seeing the Extraordinary in the Ordinary, and we'll begin with Mass celebrated by Bishop Andrew Cousins and an Adoration Hour led by Archbishop Hebda. The day includes awesome keynote speakers including Nell O'Leary, Father Brian Park, and Dia Boyle. Find out more about our speakers and the retreat on the event page at archspm.org and register today.
You're invited to the prayer and listening events hosted throughout the Archdiocese, providing the broadest opportunity for input from all Catholics in the Archdiocesan Synod process. These events are part prayer and catechesis, part listening session. There are opportunities to discern together the pastoral concerns that may become topics of discussion for the Synod. Full listing of dates, times, and locations can be found at the events page at archspm.org.
All right, Archbishop Hebda is actually joining us on the next Rediscover Hour to tell us about the Queenship of Mary. Also, Father Brian Park, Pastor of Annunciation, will be at one of our he'll be talking to us about his role at the Women's Retreat in September and anticipation of the new school year. Gene Houghton, President of the Aim Higher Foundation. In the meantime, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.